Greetings to you today in Jesus' name. Thank you for calling into the Daily Inspiration. This is Steve Clark, and this is day three in this week that I'm doing the Daily Inspiration. And it's I'm doing it on Proverbs chapter 17, different verses out of Proverbs 17. And today we're going to be on verse 3. It says, "The finding pot is for silver and the furnace for gold, but the Lord trieth the hearts." And that's the little phrase that I want to look at here today. The Lord tries the hearts, or he tries the hearts. Now, there's other things that it says about the Lord, that he chastens, that there's the chastening of the Lord. Like in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 6, it says, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. There's also the Father's pruning. Jesus said in John chapter 15, he says, let me get it here. "I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit." So there's this pruning or purging of fruit that, fruit that is there, and then if there's no fruit, it says he taketh that away. And this is to a person who is in Christ. He says, every branch in me, in Jesus, that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. So if we're not bearing fruit, we're going to be taken away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. And I don't know, maybe that's just talking about rewards or something like that. I'm not exactly sure, but there is this thing of God pruning us to bring forth more fruit. And then there's also being partakers of Christ's suffering, and that we'll see here in 1 Peter chapter 4. Verse 12, it says, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice, inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. If you be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are you. For the Spirit of God, or for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part it is evil spoken of, but on your part it is he is glorified." Okay, on their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. "But let none of you suffer as a murderer or a thief or an evildoer, or a busybody in other men's matters. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. For the time has come, the judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and sinner appear? Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful Creator." So there's this being partakers of Christ's suffering, and it seems like by what we read here, it's persecution that Christians go through at times. As it says there in the last verse, "Wherefore let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful Creator." And so this is something that God allows in Christians' lives, to go through suffering and persecution like this. And then there's also the trying of our faith, and that we would find here in James chapter 1. It says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations or trials, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. And there may be others that I don't have listed here, but I'll just go through them real quickly. God tries the heart. There's also the chastening of the Lord and the Father's pruning and being partakers of Christ's suffering. And then the last one here is the trial of our faith. Now in that same chapter in James chapter 1, verse 12, it says, "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning." And I wanted to read that because I think a lot of times, or there's oftentimes, we actually blame God for things that he's not responsible for. He may allow these things into our life, but he's not responsible for these things. And I'll explain that in just a minute here. But I want us to think about these things, God trying the hearts and the trial of our faith and the being partakers of Christ's suffering. I'm not sure if these things are all completely different, or if there's crossover here, if there's overlap in these things. I'm not exactly sure. I don't know, maybe you have some thoughts and ideas there, and you can certainly leave a voicemail. You do that by pressing 99, and that'll take you to our voicemail, and you can leave a voicemail on that. But I don't know where what's overlapping in all these things, the pruning of God and the chastening of the Lord and all of this. I'm certain that some of it is, they're similar and maybe even the same thing. But getting back to this blaming God, sometimes we blame God for things that happen, and he may allow these things into our life, but I don't believe that it's his will for some things to happen. As we read there in 1 Peter, where it is his will that we would go through persecution, all that are godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution, he says. But we have to keep in mind this verse that I read, that every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. I think that should be an anchor for us, that every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, that God does not tempt people with evil, or he can't be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. And it seems like what he's talking about is with evil. He doesn't tempt people with evil, but every man's tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. And when lust is conceived, it brings forth sin, and sin, when it's finished, brings forth death. And this is this book of James is written to the brethren, to Christians here. So not sure what to do about that also here. But maybe I'm just giving you more questions than answers today. But it's good for us to be stretched and think about what's what some of these verses are talking about. Okay, so let's look at Another verse, a couple of verses, Ephesians. This would be the where it talks about the armor of God, and I'm sure you're familiar with this portion of Scripture. It says, "Stand therefore," this is Ephesians chapter 6, verse 14, "Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Okay, verse 16 says, above all, taking the shield of faith wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Well, let's just suppose that that verse means something. That might be a funny way to say that about the scripture, but I wonder if we really kind of think about some verses, do they really mean anything or don't they? Now, if what would this verse mean if it actually meant something? Above all, taking the shield of faith wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, or the wicked one, or the devil. He is trying to shoot at us. He is trying to kill, steal, and destroy. It says in John 10:10 that the thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy, but I have come that you might have life and that more abundantly. The thief is coming to deceive us, to tempt us, and to cause us to, or he's the accuser of the brethren, and he wants us to be just like him, and he's a liar, and he wants us to be just like him, and he's tempting us and trying us, and he's the one that brings temptation. He's the one that brings evil thoughts and different things into our minds. So he's doing this, and here it says, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Okay, so if this verse actually means something, what I think it would mean is that we need to have this faith, like a shield, that can quench all these fiery darts. Now, what if we don't? What if we don't have that shield of faith? What if we're not being exercised in faith? We're not walking in faith. What happens? Well, it seems to me like we would be shot at, and we would be, he's shooting at us all the time, and it seems like we would be wounded and brought down and even fall into various types of sin, and even maybe he could take our life. I don't know. But certainly if this verse does mean something, it means that there's a responsibility that we have, that we're to walk in faith and to keep that shield of faith up from all these fiery darts of the wicked and not to let it down. It says above all, taking the shield of faith. And so, and then it talks about praying here, verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. I think prayer is very important, that we pray that we would not, that the devil wouldn't have his way in our lives, that those fiery darts wouldn't be able to get us, and that we would keep this faith, we would keep faith up as a shield. And think about the Lord's prayer, the prayer that he taught the disciples. I'm sure we all know it. In Matthew chapter 6, it says, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth, or in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. So this verse, verse 13, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. What do you think about that verse? How have you thought about it? How do you apply it to your life? I looked up those words, lead us not into temptation. Let's see if I can find my note on that. Temptation could also be adversity or affliction or trouble. And then I looked up the verse, the word evil, it could be hurtful or calamities. And these things that the devil would shoot at us and bring into our lives, adversity, affliction, trouble, calamities, hurtful things that he would bring there. It says here that that we're to pray, and this should be a daily prayer, that we pray, oh God, deliver us, or lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And prayer is very important, that we would pray and ask God to watch over us, and that we'd be praying people. So anyway, there's a few thoughts for us. I'm kind of getting over my time. I'd like to keep this to about 10 minutes. I think we're already at 15. So I'm going to leave us at that. I hope you have been encouraged and inspired maybe to dig in and search some of these things out. Like I say, you can leave a voicemail when it goes to the next menu there. After I close, you can just press 99. I believe that'll bring you right into our mailbox. So God bless you. Thanks for calling. And Lord willing, we'll continue tomorrow.